This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport, powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the county result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. And you can also get reward points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Scarf Bagara War, your weekly Stockport County feast of opinion, some facts, lots of chat. Facts? We're not pushing it with facts.
We might have a couple in. It depends. Yeah. See what we can do.
Thank you to everybody that's joined us. All the usual names are popping up. Dave Philbin, Jamie Willis, PJRC, Ian Downer, Phil Lloyd, Stuart Poynton, Nick 10, County 1883. All the usual ones. We need to have a big get together and have a like a live thing. And yeah, drink. Maybe. Thanks for joining us tonight. We have got fan guest coming on and we'll get him out pretty soon. We've got opposition preview, with Tim from Fearless in Devotion. So he's going to be joining us about 8:30. So we'll get him out and we'll talk all things Wrexham, FC, Hollywood, flyovers, guards of honour, rivalries, all the buzzwords. I need to get one of those klaxons. So every time we mention something, it goes...
Well, as soon as you say Wrexham, that klaxon goes off, doesn't it, over there?
It does, yeah.
Over the border.
I think it goes off in Philadelphia as well, and Canada, like the whole of Canada.
The whole of Canada.
Yeah.
That's one hell of a klaxon.
It's one hell of a klaxon. So how are you, mate? What have you been up to this week? Anything exciting?
No, not really. I went to Dave Schofield's charity sort of event at Basque last night. That was good. Doing the charity work and stuff, and then some banging Manchester tunes,
nice,
being played by the DJ. So yeah, it was good. It was a good night.
Nice. Was you dancing like Ian Brown?
I was stool dancing. So I was just like shoulder dancing, yeah. Shoulder dancing on the on the stool.
I like it. Right. Let's waste no time because time is of the essence. And what we need to do is we need to get our guest out. So our guest, it's his debut guest as fan guest on the Scarf Bagara War. His first game was 97-98 season, and he was 9 years old, and his first game was a 0-0. Oh, and he came back. It was a 0-0 in 97-98 against Bury.
I was going to say, but that's dedication to come back after that.
Yeah. Well, I think, and if he was nine, he probably won't remember, but I think they were singing champions at us because they won the title, didn't they, in the year before?
I don't know.
We finished second. Yeah.
There you go. Fact. We've got a fact.
Have we? What is it?
Well, you've just said.
Oh, right. Yeah. Sorry. I thought you were talking about something else. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So they were singing champ because they won the league below us. Well, they won Division Two. We were finished second. Crew went up in the playoffs, and they were singing champions at us. So, you know, when the away team goes to the team that's just won the championship, what do you think they should sing? There we go. Bit of inspiration Saturday. His favourite county goal has got to be the Paul Cook screamer. So, yeah, I mean, that's a really strong choice. Favourite county player has to be Super Kevin Cooper, and he's still in touch with him today. So when the first question I'm going to ask him when he comes on is, can you get hold of Kevin Cooper for us and get him on the show? I think it'd be rude not to do that. Favourite county game was a 4-3 win at home against Bolton. Bolton 3-0 up to 3-3, and Aaron Wilburn scored the last-minute winner. And his favourite moment, he's got to say, it'd be dinning a penalty at Main Road away. Or the 4-3 away win when Chris Byrne scored that absolute pearler against Wolves away. They're really all really strong choices. Can't argue with any of that.
Nope, all good. All good.
Right. Shall we get him out?
Let's.
Oh, no! You're joking!
Right, baby? You okay? Right? You're all right, lads?
Going in. You all right?
Oh, really good, mate. You too? You good?
Oh, yeah. Feeling champion.
Obviously.
Feeling yeah. champion. Yeah.
Can't get bored of that.
No.
Right, let's kick it off with Saturday. The game, I suppose. Let's talk about the game. Did anybody? First question is: did anybody pay attention to the game? And while you do that, I'll go and switch my disco lights on.
Not particularly. No, I think it was mostly a case of just waiting for the game to finish. To be honest. It was a really weird atmosphere, I thought. Like, at first, it was, everyone was like singing and like, enjoying the game, and then it just went a bit flat, didn't it? Just everyone just waiting for it to finish kind of thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, we did the club call on Monday, and I was sort of, I couldn't really remember, certainly the second half, I couldn't recall. I knew there was goals, but I couldn't recall the goals until the other lads started telling me what the goals were like.
No, it's just a really weird, it's a weird one. It was a really weird one, yeah.
But yeah, yeah, I think they looked like a team that didn't have anything to play for. You know, I think we looked like a team that, as we said, the shackles were off. There was no pressure on us. We could just go out and do what we wanted to do, didn't we? As you said, I think the only positions you could say anybody was actually in properly was Ben in goal, Fraser and Pye in defence, and Wharton up top. Everybody else just seemed to be wherever they wanted to be.
Yeah, roaming everywhere.
Yeah.
Indeed. I was like, when the second goal went in from them, it was like, how's that gone in? Like, it just trickled in from about... How's that gone in?
Yeah, I'm not sure if we would, because you can't see on the highlights. I'm wondering whether if Ben has took a step the opposite way before he's hit it.
Yeah, it was bizarre.
And then he's not been able to get across.
Probably might have had a few lagers before the game and just didn't want.
Yeah, it did. The whole day seemed a bit strange, didn't it? Well, let's not talk about the night time just yet, but the whole sort of build up to it. I don't think. Well, I know I've never been. I know I don't think I've ever seen County in a dead rubber where we've gone up before, and you know you've gone up, and you're that relaxed. Many seasons where nothing's happening. You know, you're not going down, you're not going up, that kind of thing, or you're already down. Mm-hmm. But it was just weird. It was like I genuinely was not asked about the game. It's weird, and it was a competitive game.
Yeah,
in the Football League.
Yeah, I think you said it felt like a bit of a pre-season friendly, didn't it?
Yeah.
It had that feeling about it. As you say, that's probably the most relaxed that I've ever been watching a game when, as you say, we were champions. So it was all done and dusted. There was everybody just wanted it to say, get finished, didn't it? Get the presentation, get the trophy.
Yeah. Was there any, Dan, was there anything that disappointed you in the performance?
Not particularly. No, I mean, I think you could tell with a couple of players when they came on, like Hippolyte. I think you could tell he was trying to make an impression to try and get himself a new contract. I think I thought he was quite bright actually in bits. I think the fate of others. I think obviously Connor Evans has been brilliant. I think last couple of months he's been arguably one of our better players, so I hope he stays. I think it's everything you'd be expected, really. I think everyone's... Neuilly was good again. He's been like a brand new sign since he's come back as well. So now I think it's just one of them games where he's got through it, won the game, and then obviously all got on the ale afterwards, to be honest. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 100% got on the ale. Well, we were already on it, so probably why you didn't see half the game. Yeah. Yeah. What about the... I suppose we should mention Notts... Oh, no, because we spoke about Notts last week, didn't we? All my days are messed up. Yeah. It's like in between Christmas and New Year, this, for me. It's a bit weird. I need football to stop for a bit and let's just get off for a bit if we can. So that was the game. I mean, personally, I was disappointed with only one part of that game, which was their second goal. I said it on the Courtyard Club call that he had so much time. He shaped to shoot twice. The second time he shaped to shoot, it went in. It wasn't particularly a good shot. Ben's probably seen it late. It bounced at least once, maybe twice before it got in. It went to the back of the net. So, yeah, but hey-ho, you know, champions don't really matter, does it? Who gives a shit?
Yeah, it's just trickled. It's just trickled in for about 25 yards. It's like a pee roll, wasn't it? It's just weird.
Yeah. It was bonkers. Absolutely bonkers. What, Dan, I know it's your debut on the show today. What do you think about the whole thing around County? It's 4 years old now, but the takeover and, you know, what's happening at the club?
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. I think people were a bit like skeptical about what Matt Stotty would do with, like, obviously, would he stick to his word, everything he's doing, but everything he's said, he's delivered, hasn't he? I mean, what a man. I mean, new ground, obviously, ground redevelopment coming. Obviously, three promotions in 6 years. I mean, what more can you want? What more can you want from the guy? I mean, it's like the club's been reborn, hasn't it? It's like, it really is like magical, to be honest.
Yeah, we've got our identity back, haven't we?
Everyone's bought into it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's magical, isn't it? I mean, I think I had three boxes to tick at the start when he took over, and one of those ones was get professional football back, because, I mean, let's not forget we were a semi-professional football team playing in a regional division, so that was one tick. Get the ground sorted, that was another tick. And then the other one was getting back into the Football League. So my expectations from when he first came in have been met. They've all been met. And now it's just like bonus material for me, this.
Yeah.
You know, League One was always my baseline. That's where I think we should be playing. But I don't know, something in the back of my mind was thinking it's not going to be as smooth as maybe it has been. Do you know what I mean? Get back into League One, because we've got another 3 years now to get back to get into the Championship, aren't we, according to the plan?
Yeah, as you say, I think, obviously, I'd love to be pushing for playoffs again next year and stuff, but I'd be quite happy to be in a similar position to, to Northampton, Leighton Orient and Stevenage, because I think they're 9th, 10th and 11th, aren't they? So just at that sort of the bottom of the top half, I'd be quite happy. You know, sort of 10 to 12, I think I'd be quite happy with that next year. But it's the same as last year. I think it's last year I'd have been happy just to finish mid-table, but the longer it went on and the more that we got into the playoffs, the more expectation that I started having, thinking, all right, we can do this. And then we were sort of flirting with that automatic promotion, wasn't we? So again, it was like, oh yeah, I can get behind this. But it depends who we sign, doesn't it? I think that's going to be the biggest thing, is the players that come in and the caliber of the player that we bring in. I think that's the big thing I think that'll change what my hopes are or what my expectations are for next season. If we get, you know, three or four big players and it's like, oh, well, we're going for this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think the thing as well is that obviously players like Nick Powell and Sarcevic, I mean, I think they're going to kick on again. I mean, I think if the right players come in, they're going to blossom even more. Yeah. Like, you get, he's going to empower, obviously, a lot of the time. Like, sometimes he gets a bit of a rap for, obviously, like, playing these balls, but some of the players aren't on his wavelength. When people are a better level on his wavelength, he'll, honestly, I think he'll get coming even more. So.
And I enjoyed his interview after the match with John Kieran.
Yeah, I did.
I mean, I could see how it, but I think it's the whole persona that Powell brings, isn't it? As you say, the laziness, but it's not lazy. He's just got time. He makes it look easy. And as Dan's just said, it's other players aren't on the same wavelength. And then for him to come across and go, well, it's only, you know, job's only half done. We want to be in the championship. This is where we need to be. So, yeah, it's job's half done. We need to push on and carry on next season.
Do you know what it is with Powell? It's the I've looked it up. It's the slow play paradox. So I've been doing some research. So what that is
facts. You're throwing more facts.
Yes, I'm just going to throw facts out there today, guys. Hit that subscribe button, guys. Hit throwing some
facts.
Yeah, I can't imagine he was on the Jager bombs either. I can't imagine he was on the Jager bombs or the lager. No, I don't think he's the kind of person that would do that, to be honest. But
no. So the slow play paradox, then, that is, you might be able to guess what it is, but it's where a player is, I wouldn't say so good, but there's respect for him, and other players don't rush him or don't close him down as quickly, as fast as maybe you'd expect them to, because they know he's just going to do something. You know, he's got time on the ball. He's a step ahead, or maybe two steps ahead. You see it in the Premier League at the top level, don't you? Where they're not just running for nothing. And that's what it is with Powell. And that'll just get better in League One. I've seen a lot of chat on X in the past few days. Some people saying they don't think he will be as good. And some people saying, no, they will, because he is a really good player. Some people saying, well, he looked lazy, you know, all that kind of stuff. Obviously, game of opinions, but I think he's just going to go from strength to strength.
Yeah. As you say, League One, it is a more technical league, isn't it? As you say, it's another step up. And as we've mentioned a few times, there's two leagues in League One, isn't there? There's a top half or the top seven, which are really good, classy footballing teams. And then you've got sort of the bottom half, which are still sort of a League Two-esque, you know, set pieces and that type of stuff, a bit more dogged. So, as you say, playing against them big teams or the ones that want to play football, it'll just be, like I say, step up again. It'll be brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, just a couple of comments that have come in I want to pick up on. PJRC says, Russ, what three things do you want now? I mean, I'll open this up to everybody, but for me, training ground in the Borough. I mean, that would be massive. A full training complex with, you know, bells and whistles. And it's
reserve games there. And
yeah, all that.
Team there, yeah, as well. Yeah, that'd be
grassroots. It operates away from match days for the public as well. I mean, I don't know how feasible that is, but that would be really, really cool. And then just to get into the championship, I don't think I've got three things now. I don't know. Oh, maybe build on the ground like they promised. But these are all, this all again, it's all bonus stuff, isn't it? We're not playing catch up now, are we? We're going forward. We're moving forward.
Maybe send Wrexham down.
He's gone early. That's fired. Gone early with that one.
Ding 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 ding.
Anything else that you lads would want?
No, I think, as you say, it's all just a bonus now. We're back to our level playing field of where pretty much, I think, most county fans think that this is our level, League One. So, you know, going anywhere other than going up into the championship is an absolute bonus. And it's all just gravy, isn't it? It's lovely.
Yeah, it's all just gravy, The other comment that's just come in, flash this one up. Stuart Hope says, Russ, Waggy and Dan, who will be released? Well, we're not going to talk about that tonight, but we have got a squad pod coming along next week. So what we're going to do is we're going to send out a sheet that everybody can play along with if you like. It's not a live show, it'll be a recorded show. And we're going to go down to each player and say whether we want to snog, marry, avoid kind of thing. So keep, send back, sell, not extend contract, whatever.
Yeah, don't ask that to my wife.
What are the four options, Waggy?
They are release, keep, two plus contract or transfer.
Yeah.
So, because so I think officially we've only got something like, is it three or five players who are in contract for next year that are currently on the playing staff.
Really? Three or five?
Three or five that have got contracts that go to the end of 25 or 26. There's not a lot. There isn't a lot at all. So,
right.
I've not got my sheet, but yeah, we'll release the sheet. We'll put a post out saying for it, and then you can just post your pictures of your sheets underneath the comments, and if we've got time, we'll include them as we're doing the squad pod.
See, Dave Philbin's already said nine in contract, isn't it?
Nine in contract.
Oh,
right.
You see.
I never said I was facts. You said
no, no. Facts. It's just our opinion of what contract they're on, isn't it? Andy Madden, he's on a 10-year contract, surely.
Surely. And yet, there was another one. It's good to see him coaching the under-18s. They put a post out, didn't they, that him, Hippo, and who was the third one? Was it Sars? There was three of them, weren't there, that are doing the B badges. So there was three of them that did the coaching session.
Paddy, Hippo and Sars, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Facts.
I mean, that's, you think, get Sars on a two-year contract, Paddy on a two-year contract, Ben on a two-year contract, and then there's three youth coaches. When they finish in 2 years' time,
that's gonna have a coaching staff from top to bottom full of ex players, aren't we?
Ex players, yeah,
beautiful. going back to Saturday then, because we're not doing the squad pod now. Let's go back to Saturday. How did you both celebrate? I mean, were we all in Basque? Oh,
I wasn't. I couldn't get in. it was ticket only, wasn't it?
Basque wasn't ticket only, was it?
Was it not?
No, it's queue only.
Fair enough. I went out with a few mates and into Hazel Grove after the game, into the Grapes, and then I think it ended up with a bit of karaoke, I think, and a nice kebab on the way home.
Excellent.
That was my Saturday night, but yeah, it was decent. Yeah, and then obviously the Albert, all the celebrations outside there, and the. We're gonna get onto that, aren't we? The SARS video.
We'll discuss that with Tim when he joins. We were together, weren't we, Waggy? We went on the courtyard afterwards for a few pints. Then we went for something to eat, but we made our way past the Prince Albert and through the centre of Edgeley, didn't we?
Yeah.
And it was just absolute chaos. It was brilliant. The players weren't there at that point, though, were they, when we walked through?
No, they weren't, no. But we got a hot tip, didn't we, that they were all going to Basque?
Yeah.
From undisclosed.
From Benji, who owns Basque.
Yes, Benji. Whispering it to everybody, but keeping it under hats. Don't tell anyone, but they're coming to Basque.
The comments are coming in. There was people on the roof. County fans were being refused entry to Basque. Which vlogger got in? David Wright, 08, Mr. Cameraman, friend of the podcast. Please tell us which vlogger got in. I didn't see a vlogger in there. Not that I know all the vloggers. Yeah. It was pretty much chaos in Basque, wasn't it? It was just wall-to-wall people. There was a massive queue outside. Somebody said they didn't even get in because the queue was too long and they gave up. It was just brilliant. It was absolutely brilliant. The players came in, managed to get photographs, got some names, got some numbers for future pods, so hopefully they'll materialise.
Yeah, it was quite enjoyable seeing the players singing their own songs. Tanto was singing his song, jumping up and down with a pair of disco glasses on, and then Horsford, they were all singing with him, stood on the stage. So yeah, it was absolutely bedlam, but it was really good.
It was, yeah. It was absolutely bedlam. Before Tim comes on, Dan.
Yeah.
What? Just wanted to touch on It's going to sound really weird, this, but I just wanted to touch on you for a bit. you started in 97, 98, and you said just before we came on air about, you know, your dad got you into it. And do you want to just tell us briefly about that and some of the memories you've got of those sort of times?
Yeah. So my dad got me. So obviously, it used to be when I was 8 years old. Obviously, I remember it was before I even started going. I obviously listened to the Chesterfield game on was it Signal?
Oh, it might have been, yeah. God, yeah.
And obviously we got promoted, obviously winning that game, get promoted to league to obviously the championship. And then dad then decided to get us a season ticket for the 97-98 season. And what a season that was. It was just some of the football we played, and obviously fell in love with a lot of the players like Connolly, Cooper, Angel. Obviously, just great times. And then, as I say, that season, I luckily got as mascot against Man City when we won 3-1.
That's brilliant.
Wow, yeah, that was like, yeah, mascot for that game. And obviously, Paul Cook, Screamer, Armstrong. And then, obviously, I've still got the video somewhere in my heart. I can't be in one of these boxes that I'm moving in it. Obviously, when you see Les Battersby walking out of the Cheetah Land, oh, it's absolute joy. Memories like that, you'll never lose. And then my first away game was that game against Wolves.
Unbelievable.
4-3 away. I think, ridiculous game. Cooper scored 2, Burn scored 2. And, that's when, the club was just, on the map, wasn't it? Going to Molineux, beating Wolves at Wolves 4-3, like stuff you can only dream of, isn't it? Going to clubs like that.
Yeah.
And a few good wins away at Bolton as well. I remember. I think Ding scored a screamer there as well. I think Woodthorpe scored one as well, actually, one year. Absolute rocket at the Reebok. But yeah, some amazing memories, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to just start watching County at that time. And that was the absolute height that we got to, wasn't it? Eighth in the championship. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to call you a glory hunter, but there's no better time to start watching it, is there?
they went through the times, and obviously,
yeah.
Back to back relegations, and watching absolute filth. but yeah, we had, obviously, yeah. But then the other side of it was obviously we had Kilner and stuff, and we had obviously the young lads coming through, like we had like Tansy, Welsh. All them people coming through, all them kids coming through. We obviously just played the kids, and it was just that was brilliant because obviously you saw them talents, and obviously, but then obviously we had to let them all go because we had no money. So obviously, they all went out and did other things, didn't they? But a lot of them players we produced there that have obviously had great careers, haven't they? So
yeah, absolutely.
At the time,
yeah, and That's what we want from this, isn't it? That you know, when Mark Stott talks about being sustainable in the championship, that's what we're talking about, isn't it? We're talking about having a real big, not big, but well, I suppose it would be big, a really good academy in the borough that caters for all of them. And I don't think it's blasé to say that, you know, the next Phil Foden coming through should be, you know, if you know he went to my primary school, he should be coming through the Stockport County Academy, shouldn't he? Really. Yeah. You know what I mean? Or, you know, Cobby Mainoo as well. He was at Cheel and Gatley. Should be coming through our academy, these players.
Yep.
Yeah, you'd like to think you can get one or two that can, not even,
that's it. Doesn't
have to be that level either, like just that can just, like Cody obviously is, I think obviously, it's a difficult one with him now. What happens with Cody? Obviously, is he going to, I imagine he'll be loaned out again next year, probably, maybe to, possibly League Two, maybe one of the lower teams.
Yeah,
I don't know, but
Cody's from the existing academy set up, isn't he? I mean, he's probably been a bit unlucky. He's probably a bit too late, in Cody's terms. But any more coming through, and I think you sell one, maybe two of those. You know, I'm talking in 5 and 10 years' time now. Sell one or two of those. It's going to make Mark Stott's investment of 6 and 5 million for the first 2 years just look like peanuts, really, isn't it? You know, the eye-watering sums that they are that they're selling for at those levels. Someone put Taylor Howard Bellis as well. He probably would have come through ours because he's Steve Bellis's nephew. Yeah, isn't he? So
talk about against Ipswich, isn't there? I think 15, 16 million or something, possibly. If apparently it's been rumoured that if Saints don't go up, then Ipswich are sniffing for 15, 16 million. So imagine that's
wow. They are the sums we are talking about. Right, we have backstage our esteemed guest, Tim from the Wrexham podcast, Fearless in Devotion. So without further ado, let's get Tim out.
The ball out from under his feet. What a run this is from Barry. All the way to the edge of the area. It's going to be three. Oh, my word. It's Louis Barry to make it three for Stockport County. Wrexham are all over the place.
Swear, I just picked a random video. And that
weird. Unbelievable, that. It's just a random one.
I knew I should have been less kinder to you the other day. I knew it. More fool me.
Yeah, next time you're coming on our third, and then they'll come on yours. apologies for that, mate. It was a bit of a cheap shot, but I thought it'd be funny. So
that feels like a lifetime ago, honestly.
Mm.
Right, different, doesn't different it just, world. Yeah.
Yeah. So was that
September?
Yeah, because we were two or three games into our 12-game winning run, weren't we? At Wrexham, what has changed since then? I know it's a different keeper. Is the lineup completely different?
I can't even remember the lineup. Somebody have to remind me, to be honest. I try to erase that from my mind as best as I can.
I think one of the change, the little thing he's not playing at the moment is Toes has kind of been left out.
It's a bit of a weird one because, you know, it's easy to sort of use it as an excuse, but it's a valid one because his dad had just passed away, like, you know, not long before that game, and then Parky took him out and just said, "Look, just have a bit of time to yourself," because obviously he's up here, his family are down south. So, and there was a little bit of clever man management there as well. I think it was a combination of things, really. Just for whatever reason, I think was it Matt Howard was in goal then as well. So I think we were in between keepers. If I remember rightly.
Yeah.
Key sort of disruption in that sort of defence and goalkeeper unit, really, which we've had a lot of, to be honest. We've had a lot of, probably no different to a lot of other teams, but it just feels like, you know, some of our key defenders, if you'd have told me at the start of the season that the likes of Aaron Hayden and Jordan Tunnicliffe would be even being touted as being surplus to requirements at this stage of the season, well, I laughed at you. But that's the way it's turned out, you know. So, yeah, I think those are the main components with those. And again, it's a valid excuse is that Mullin was still playing probably when he shouldn't have. Was he playing for that game? I can't remember.
Yeah, it was his second game back, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, so he was off it for a lot, which is mad when you think of the goals he's not done, especially since probably the turn of the year, really, sort of January onwards. But it's a weird thing, I suppose, unless you suffer an injury like that, it's kind of hard to explain the sort of impact it would have on you as an athlete. You know, in terms of performance levels, you know, I imagine he's the sort of person that would get over it from a mental aspect. He's not the sort of person that would share the challenge, but I think the overall, you know, the sort of lung capacity and all that sort of stuff, without getting too medical, I imagine it does have an effect. And he definitely lacked the yard of pace. We thought, oh, Jesus, it's gone, but it's reappeared. So, yeah, those are the key moments, I think. But, yeah, different side now compared to then, you know, in terms of finding their feet and the mentality of it all and everything else. And, you know, if you're going to have a wake-up call, I suppose have one like that.
Yeah. So was that the wake-up call? Did you start to think, we need better players, we need to change it? And did you invest in the January? Is that where all the new players have come from? Or were they all free transfers?
January transfer window was a bit of a more miss than hit. Literally two players in January, and that was Jack Marriott and Luke Bolton. And it was just a bit like, it felt a little bit, are we just buying players for the sake of it at that point? It was a bit of a weird one.
Yeah, you seem to buy players that you'd already got. in decent players in the same positions, didn't you?
Yeah.
That's the way it struck me.
Then Barnett was getting a little bit injury prone as well on that flank, on the right flank. So they needed a bit more cover, and they couldn't necessarily rely on having James McLean back in there, you know, because he wasn't playing every game. I think he was still in the Ireland setup at the time. So there was a little bit of to and fro as to who they were going to get. And then Marek was like, probably is a preferred choice over the sort of likes of Dalby and obviously Billy Walters who's out on loan. So yeah, a bit, I mean, Marriott's definitely got something. You know, he's played at a decent level, so there's definitely something about him. We just haven't quite figured out what yet. But I definitely wouldn't say the January window had a massive effect. I think it's just a case of getting the key players back together at the right time, figuring out that, you know, it was never going to be plain sailing in this division. But from a wake-up point of view, I think it just said, you know, you're not going to have your own way in this division, which is needed because you can't have it all your own way. It can't be like, you know, FIFA, like National League was last season. It was just like, how is this even happening? You know, it gets 111 points in any you know, competition. That's madness. So that's never going to happen again. We thought the Chesterfield might do it, and then their wheels came off on their charge to sort of eclipse that points total. But yeah, I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed the season more than I did last season by a mile. A lot of people saying, oh, it's not as good. It is. It's just some people are measuring it as like a game-by-game basis, you know, which is unrealistic, really. You have to have the lows to enjoy the highs more. And, you know, I think whatever wins we had sort of post getting thumped at your place were probably enjoyable in that sense, because you got to pick yourself up. You know, you got to pick yourself up and say, right, where are we going to end up? And at that point, after that game, I genuinely didn't know how it was going to pan out, to be honest. I knew we had more than a nucleus of a good squad, but you just didn't know how it was going to fare. And, you know, I think Notts County were in and around the sort of mix at the time, and look how it panned out. And I think that goes a little bit deeper than just them losing their manager, if I'm honest.
Yeah. Do you think there was a significant step up from the National League to League Two? Because you've done the double bounce, first time in your history, I think, if I'm right in saying. Mm. Because when we stepped up, I think there was a general consensus that the step up was bigger than everybody anticipated. In the National League, down at the bottom, there is fodder, isn't there? That you know, lose every week. Whereas in League Two, it's not as foddery as that, if that's even a word. Did you find that as well when you came up?
Oh yeah, I think we've got the blind sort of optimism in all of us. You know, we all profess to know a certain level of football, which we do, but you know, we're sitting there going, oh, there's not much difference in League Two and National League. How the bloody hell do we know? We haven't been in it for 15 years. So how can we possibly say that? You know, you kind of, you know, have you been to watch a Crawley game recently or whatever? No. So you can't just judge it off 4 minutes of highlights for the game. So I thought that was a bit of a misnomer. But then I went along with it. I probably said it myself. And then when we got in the league, the MK Don things, MK Don's, home defeat first game is a bit like, oh shit, here we go. But that was the timing from the US preseason tour, was all over the shop. It was pretty obvious from the offset that it was a step up, just in terms of the pace, because there's still physicality in National League. We all know that you've got a couple of cloggers in there, and there's still physicality in League Two, but definitely the speed of the game was much, much quicker than what I expected. Especially if you came up against strong passing sides like your Mansfields of the world and all that sort of stuff, where they just knock it around. They don't dick around with it. They don't take three touches when they can just take one. So that was pretty evident. I thought, oh God, you know, are we going to be all right? You know, especially started recruiting kind of like the dad's army aspect of Fletcher and McLean. Like, we've got experience, but do we need a bit of pace in there? So yeah, that was the most noticeable thing for me by a mile.
I think for me, it was making mistakes. Beginning of last season, certainly for us, was, you know, in the National League, you can make a mistake and get away with it. Whereas in League Two, you made a mistake and you know, they score a goal against you. That seemed to be the biggest thing for me that I noticed just when we stepped up from the National League. It's just getting punished for your mistakes. It's just so there's so much more on top of you than they were in the National League.
Yeah, 100%. But and we'll see what it's like next year. Now, be something else too that'll stick out like a sore thumb. I imagine the refereeing will hopefully be marginally better.
Well, that was one thing that we didn't notice when we stepped up. I thought the referee was... I expected the referee to be better, and I don't think it's any better than the National League.
No, you get one or two, don't you?
Standouts. Yeah, there's one or two standouts, but the majority, we've had some awful referees this year and last year.
I mean, look at the Premier League, for instance, how bad decisions are there, so... What have we got?
I think we should just forget about the refereeing and concentrate on the football, because I mean the refereeing is bad all throughout, so you've just got to sort of play with that, haven't you? You can't. Yeah. I hate bemoaning refs because it's not a profession. They haven't got academies themselves and all that kind of stuff. They don't help themselves. I'll give them that. But yeah, let's talk about. Let's talk about your squad then. Now, when I was on your show, I said I wouldn't mind having an Andy Cannon back. Someone's put here, Nick Ten said, Andy Cannon player of the season. Has he really been your best, I wouldn't say surprise, but is that genuine? Is he going to win best, player of the year at your place?
A strong shout. He's got a strong shout. We were kind of all, as how do you measure a player of the season? Is this something that's played all the season, the majority of the season? Consistently over a short period, it depends how you verse it. And we've had that weird sort of probably bar maybe a handful of players who played a lot of games. A lot of the others have been dipping in and out, and that's the process of a large squad, isn't it? As you'll know, you can chop and change and chop and change it until it works. So I wasn't sure on Cannon, but he has come good. He got sent off at Crawley.
Away days with County are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at Edgeley Park. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
And at Crawley early in the season, like some people are, that's him done. He's no coming back from it. It was a bad tackle. It was just shit tackle. Like, but he's competitive, but he just needed to sort of rein it in a bit. It turns out, I found out the other day that we're like fourth from bottom for like disciplinary, which is quite astounding. I can believe that. It's I think he's got a chance, but then there's probably three or four players in the mix with him, to be perfectly honest. I mean, normally, probably 2 months ago, we probably wouldn't have said Mullin, but he scored something like 15 in the last 11 or something daft like that. I mean, you can't discount it. So Elliot Lee, obviously mentioned that, was really good, and obviously double figures for goals. And then he kind of dropped off a little bit, sort of, turn of the year, Christmas turn of the year, and people saying ever since he signed his new contract, he's been rubbish. Like, that's got anything to do with it. Right. So, there was various rumours that there was some personal things going on. How true that is, you don't know. But, again, he's this sort of winning run that got us over the line, he's come good in that. So there's been key players coming good at key moments, and some just playing through really well. And the romantic in me wanted to give it to Max Clewworth, but kind of young centre half. He's only 21. He's just ridiculous, like ridiculous for what he's improved upon year on year. Everybody's saying, I want to give it Elliot Lee until Clewworth kind of channeled his sort of prime sort of Berezi to sort of up himself put through the gears. He's just really good. So, you know, Okonkwo as well in goal. He's got a really good record. So there's a few, but I think Cannon would probably get it just because I think we've missed that kind of all action midfielder who will get goals at key moments, I think. And there's a bit of folklore surrounding him now with this whole, he saw a lion on the M56 story and him and James McClane becoming best mates. It's just mad. So, yeah, but so I would not be surprised to see him get it. Would not be surprised.
So just round the room then, Dan and Waggy, who out of Wrexham's team would you have on ours? I know I'm nicking your ideas now, Tim, but it's a really good feature. So, Dan, you go first. One player.
Mullin, I'd say. Just a goal. He's just a goal machine, isn't he? Like, I mean, obviously, we've got Paddy as well. We've got Paddy and we've got, obviously, but just I think the chances we created for him, he just sticks so many away when he... Even like from the penalty spotlight, I don't think I've ever seen him miss a pen. He just might miss a couple, but he's more often not, he just buries them, doesn't he? Just reliable goals, and that you take that all day week, every day of the week.
Fair dues. Waxter?
I'd probably say Cannon, because he played for us in National League, didn't he? And I thought we'd have took him on, but. I'd probably have him back.
I'm sticking with Elliot Lee because I thought he's been superb. He was really good in that 5-0. You know, in a 5-0 defeat, he was the standout player for Wrexham. I thought he was brilliant. So plus I liked his dad as well. His dad was dead good, wasn't he?
He comes to a lot of games. To be fair, Rob, he comes to a lot of games to watch him, and yeah, he loves it. Like you see people. See players dropping down, obviously, different championship, and the natural cynicism in any football fan, especially like external football fans away from your club, was, you know, you can drop down for the project, for the money, and all this sort of stuff. But I mean, whilst all that is obviously very helpful, he genuinely does. He goes on record to say, like, there's been more happening here for me than I ever thought possible. You know, he's proper loving it, and he lives in like sort of. You live in that, which he said, you know, it beats driving around the bloody, you know, the sort of all the motorways in London and all that, when he can just have a nice country sort of drive into training and all that. So the only person that's only happy about it is his mum, because his mum thinks he's never going to come back. What he said. He's a nice guy, and you know, it's important that you get players who literally play with a smile on their face. It's not just about a career, and we've got that with Mullin and Lee and probably a few more others, you know, and that's what ultimately I personally think that goes a long way. You're playing it for the love of the game as opposed it primarily being a career. That should be a secondary thing, and that definitely comes to the fore with a lot of these. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens next season, because a lot of this squad is going to be broken up. So that sort of team bonding and dynamic will change.
How many players do you see you releasing, or how many do you see coming in? Do you see, like, is it going to be 6, 7, 8, or of the squad?
I think there'll be a lot going. I think there'll be... easy, bare minimum 6, probably right. Top end, probably 10, 11. I think that'll be all right.
Okay.
And then you've got to fill those gaps. You know, you've got to fill those gaps.
So is that all players that were with you last season as well? Or
yeah, the ones that are at least fulfilled 2 years there or thereabouts. You know, I think Tozer will potentially go. Luke Young will probably go. Tunnicliffe and Hayden will probably go because they're just injury prone all the time. So Howard and goal will probably go. Rob Layton, he might as well go because, you know, he's so injury prone, it's unbelievable. So they'll probably sever that aspect and go from there. So there'll definitely be a lot of changes, 100%. And then he's already said that, you know, recruitment will be key this year. I imagine that's already well in the planning stages to figure out who's out of contract, who they're going to go for, who they've identified as not marquee signing is probably the wrong word now. It's only a marquee sign if you spend big on one player, isn't it? Where I think they might,
they might
flex financial muscle finally in the true sense of lumping some money on our player. You know, we've done it probably once for a fee, and that was, you know, three seasons ago, basically, with Palmer. So they haven't outwardly gone out and said, we're buying this guy for X, Y, Z, you know. So
what constitutes a marquee signing for us? What for both of us into League One? Is it like a Ross Barkley kind of player? What level would they have to be at for it to be a marquee signing?
I think you're right, isn't it? It's got to be a top end championship sort of player.
Yeah, not necessarily household name, but you know, you're talking top end championship, aren't you? Really, because we've both been chopping at the top end of the division above, and in some cases the division above that. Certainly, in the National League, we were getting League One players. So, you know, who knows?
I think it's going to cost a lot of money for a marquee signing.
Yeah,
we're not going to get anybody on a free, are we?
It's going to be a million plus
when it's released. So yeah, you're talking a few million probably if you're going to be looking at somebody as a marquee signing.
Yeah.
Aye. So Tim, quick question: who would you have from our team then? Just one player.
I said the other day, I still like that. Is it Isaac Alafi?
Yep.
Like him. Madden's the obvious one, but I said it the other day that I'd have him, but then thinking about what you said about Mullins, like, I like him as a person.
Not
as a player. Not as a player. I just thought, Madden's got that face that I just want somebody to boot the ball at him so hard. Got that face.
Bit like Waggy's face. Waggy's got the same face.
He's just got that face. But then I saw a picture of Paddy Madden when he was at Fleetwood. I didn't even recognise him.
No.
Yeah.
Like, boy, man. They're completely like worlds apart. But he's obviously a very, very good player. There's no doubt about it. The Welsh aspect of me once he's... Is it Southern Hales? Southern Hales?
Oh, yeah. Southern Hales, yeah.
How much involvement is he at this season? Has he had a fair bit or not?
Yeah, I mean, he was when we first started, but he got injured. Like he does, he's a bit injury prone, isn't he? But we were thinking at the start of the season that we've got Kyle Noyle and Southam Ailes wouldn't get in. Southam Ailes got in, and you could not get him out. He was like unplayable. His pace is almost like a joke. Do you know what I mean? How fast he is. But I think he's a Cardiff lad, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know if that would matter to him, but
I'm gonna stick with Alafi this time, just because again it comes back to what we're saying then about just playing for the love of the game. And he strikes me as the person that does that as a primary factor in why he does it.
Yeah, he does. Let's move on to Saturday then. Let's cover the Claxons are gonna go off now, but the rivalry, Guard of Honour, the flyover, all this stuff. What do you make of the rivalry? I know we've asked you this before, but let's have an update on what we think the rivalry's got to.
Oh, it's a lot of hot air, isn't it? Depending on what's seen and what's heard and what's said, and I kind of try to see it from a different point of view. I can start whinging about, oh, should Challenger have said that at the time in the pub all those years ago? Should Sasevic have said that on the roof the other day, blah, blah, blah. But then I said, you know, if she was on the other foot, part of me would be like, oh, it's a bit classless, but then part of me would be like, fuck it, it's quite good fun as well. So.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, if it was the opposite way around, if you'd won the league and we'd finished third, then I'm sure that there would be videos of your players
I'm not sure, you know. I'm not saying that just to play devil's advocate. I'm not sure. Purely for the whole remember you representing aspect, that they like the club internally are ruling things like an iron fist at the moment. You have to say the wrong thing about the club, and you probably get like a 10-year ban. So that'll probably apply to the players as well to a certain extent. So, yeah, I'm not sure. But, I mean, in terms of the overall rivalry, again, we've had it before, haven't we? I mean, somebody said on Twitter before, X or whatever it is, people don't like to acknowledge the fact, but the truth of the matter is that both clubs are more similar than they are different.
Yeah.
And that's the awkward fact of the matter. It's just the way it is, you know?
Yeah.
And and like I said to you the other day, it's that I would rather play Stockport twice a year than play
Bromley,
Forest Green or something like that. And A, because yes, it's closer, but it's just as an away day, it's more fun as a kind of laying down a bit of a marker. It's more fun as well. You know, you lay down the marker in that game, blah, 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 blah. I wasn't aware of the bentos, the thing that you mentioned about. Literally, that was the first I heard of it until you told me about it the other day. So I wasn't the wiser. But I think it's all in good spirit to a point. You know, if it wasn't, I wouldn't be on here. You wouldn't be on ours. You know, so
yeah.
Anybody with half a brain can go, yeah, well, we don't hate each other.
Yeah, as you say, competitive rivalry, isn't it? As you say, while we're in the same league or on the same sort of trajectory, and as you say, whether that is, you know, goes up, but you know, when we get, as we've said, we want to get to the Championship. Whereas I know that the Wrexham boys have said that they want Premiership type of thing. So I think as long as we're sort of there or thereabouts with each other, I think it will be a competitive rivalry, as you say. There's no real hatred between us. There's no traditional sort of rivalry or anything like that, but it is a competitive rivalry.
But there's always been like crossovers as well, because I remember when Stockport in the Championship, I can't remember when that was. I kind of want to say, was it the early noughties or something like that? I can't remember when it was. But
yeah, late 90s, early noughties.
Yeah, but I just remember thinking, it's a similar kind of like situation going on, in that you're in the kind of like proximity to bigger clubs in the sense of your Man Uniteds and Man Cities, you know, and we always struggled with the whole Liverpool Everton defectors. You know, I can't be asked watching Wrexham, but I'll pay X, Y, and Z to go on a bus to go to Liverpool, where I know nobody, have no association with it whatsoever.
Yeah,
not that I'm bitter about it. Not that any of those fans have completely changed from full circle in the last few years. So yeah, I in that sense, I remember looking on thinking, if they can do it, why can't we? And it was the same with other teams, Yeovil and like Bradford. When Bradford got to the Premier League, I clung on to this firm belief that every dog has their day, and we're having ours now, you know, however long that day lasts. So we're just lapping it up, win, lose or draw. It's just the best times, honestly, for a sustained period of success. Is this the best time? And even the old boys that followed the team that got to the Championship in the late 70s have now said this is the most fun they've had because of what's going on, and because you might not necessarily lose that player this time like you would have done in previous seasons gone by. You might lose him for a fee, but it better be a commanding one. You know, it's nice to be in that sort of position where you've got that bargaining power behind you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I remember being not devastated, but really disappointed when we let Ashley Williams go on loan to Swansea and then we sold his sell-on clause for something ridiculous, I heard. I don't think he ended up going for much eventually, but it was at the time I was thinking, bloody hell, he could go for millions and millions and we'd get nothing now, because we were just in a dire situation where we just needed cash. But you're right, we, you know, you don't have to do that anymore. We don't have to do that anymore, and it's all a bit, it's all dead good, isn't it? You know, so
it's just weird, isn't it? It's weird.
Yeah.
I love the fact that we'll be getting up people's noses again. Like the Charltons of the world who've basically been treading water for a while, you know, they'll hate that. But it's just nice to be going to places like Charlton and Reading, Wigan to a certain extent, where you get bigger allocations, and it's just, all right, this is kind of what it's about. This is where the level is suddenly ramped up a bit. So, you know, and when you look at the teams that are coming down from the Championship, Jesus Christ. I mean, it makes, we can all like salivate who's possibly going to come down, but it makes the division straight away even harder than anybody was ever imagining. To have, you know, Sheffield Wednesday.
Birmingham,
Huddersfield, QPR, Stoke. I mean, they're all in the mix, you know, with a couple of games left. So,
yeah,
you know, out of all them, you go, well, I'll take any of them, just because A, getting back to playing teams like that, you know, in a division that they think they don't belong in, whereas we think we belong back in more now. It'll be very, very interesting. Very interesting season next year, for sure.
Where do you see... We mentioned before you came on that now we're back in League One, we sort of see that as like County's base level. That's where we belong. Where do you see, Wrexham, do you see yourselves as a League One club? I know that we're both hopefully going to push on from that, but do you see that as being sort of your base level, is what Wrexham, how they should be with the fan base and that type of thing?
Yeah, I think so. I always kind of like entertain myself with some random pub conversations about there being a football natural order. Sounds a little bit kind of Gestapo-ish, but you know what I'm on about. You know, like if you could pitch your team anywhere based on whatever, I always thought in my head, you know, your fan base and potential and all that sort of stuff, I always kind of had a sort of, you know, maybe lower echelons of the Championship in my head. But that's been greedy, probably. So, but then given everything that's going on and given the way the club's currently being run and I've been told today that basically Parkins is going to have a blank checkbook to play with in the summer. That gives you all sorts of crazy hope of what could possibly transpire. I mean, nobody's ever done the bounce from National League to Championship in three successive seasons. I think there was one who did it in five or four. Numbers have done it in three, and whilst in my head I'm like, consolidate and build, don't get too green, don't get ideas above your station. I think a lot of that will depend on recruitment, and mobilising that and harnessing that team spirit again, which is vital. You know, that team spirit alone can win your games. So, I think a lot will hinge on that for sure. And yeah, I'm just excited by it. Like, you know, how can you not be? You know, it doesn't matter. Even if these guys walked away tomorrow from the club, you know, they would go with the best wishes in the world. But then the only worry that I've got about potentially doing so well next season and possibly doing it is whether we've got the infrastructure for the Championship. I don't think we have. We haven't. Well, don't think about it. We definitely haven't got it. You know, we haven't got a training ground sorted out. We seem to be some, you know, living this kind of slightly nomadic existence between three or four training facilities, which isn't ideal. Yeah, it's not great. You know, 1 minute they're training there, 1 minute they're training there. So that's a bit of a bone of contention.
Is there any plans in place, or have you heard of any discussions or anything for that?
That was
a big thing that Stock come in with, saying we want to be a Championship club, so let's plan to be a Championship club now. That's why we bought Carrington the training ground, or rented it for a sustained period, so that we had that base to be able to, as you say, build on. So is there anything from your side?
I mean, I know they've been training back at Colliers Park, which was owned by the club before various and scrupulous previous owners separated the assets from the club, and now it's run and owned by the Welsh FA. So we do have an agreement to use it. How regularly we use it, I don't exactly know. So they'll go between there, they'll go to Carden Park. Sometimes they've even traded on the, you know, racecourse ground itself. So there have been sort of sites identified, but they haven't firmed up what that's going to be or costings. It's not going to be cheap. And I think Humphrey Carr, the executive director, basically said that they looked at Fleetwood setup as an ideal training ground complex, in the sense that you've got a training complex, you've got 3G pitches for a community hub as well. You've got offices, you've got your back office structure in place there. So it frees up more of an imprint in and around the ground there. But that was like 8 million. So where'd you magic 8 million from? You know, some people might say, well, just get it from your own, isn't it? If they were going to go down that route, they would have gone down that route by now. So you've got to do it in a certain manner. And I think the reason why a lot of fans are kind of pissed off at Wrexham is that they're like, they actually haven't really spent outwardly like vast sums of money. And it, you know, when the accounts come into play next season, when they're published, it's going to be quite astounding, the amount of income that's been generated from sponsorship deals and documentary and the pre-season tour, blah blah blah. So, you know, we're definitely only spending what we can afford to spend and what's being generated. So, yeah, bugbear is that, but yeah, it'll have to come good. But you know, if they're well ahead, if they're fifth with 10 games to go, they better get their thinking caps on, to be honest.
Yeah, well, what I'm thinking is we'll have a bit of a longer discussion next season, because we're gonna come around out. We've got, obviously, the fixtures have come out, so we're gonna play each other. Because I'd like to discuss that with you in a bit more detail, perhaps the FFP element, the loan element, the circular economy with your business plan. Because I think it's really inventive. It's imaginative, isn't it? The way they're doing it. And I do like to keep on abreast of all that, but obviously not for now because time's running on. But let's kick back to Saturday then. We've got to mention the Guard of Honour and the well, we've heard there's a flyover. Guard of Honour, are you yes or no for the Guard of Honour? Are you just going to stay in the, have a pint on the concourse and let it run out and then come up and take your seat?
I might have my chicken katsu curry slice, the best football food I've had in years, honestly. get in there, get one of them. Yes, there will be a Guard of Honour, I would imagine. It would be daft and a PR disaster if there wasn't one. I mean, you strip it right back and go, what is it really? It's 11 guys standing opposite one another, clapping. That's what it is.
Yeah.
So don't look at it beyond that. Don't fall into the trap of fans on Twitter saying, look how much respect you're giving us to the champions, blah blah blah. what else are you going to do, really? What are you going to do? This isn't Celtic Rangers. They're not going to turn their back. It's not the Hacker where you face off against them. So people are like are getting like a mad, like delusional idea of what it really means. And does it really matter? No. Would it have been a lot more awkward had Wrexham not got promoted? Yes. But that's all by the by. So it will happen. It should happen. Anybody says it shouldn't, then you need to kind of give your head a wobble, because it's all down to at least going, well, yeah, we acknowledge that. You've done it again, and rightfully so. And happy days. We'll see you again next season, and that's as it should be, you know. If the flyover says, cheers for the Guard of Honour,
then they'll be pleased.
Yeah, then I might think differently.
Cheers.
So, what are the odds of that? You know, somebody watching this is going to change the banner. Change.
Yeah,
it.
I'll just
message it now.
Cheers, yeah, thanks to the Guard of Honour. Cheers, thank you. Oh, nice.
So, on Saturday then, again, we'll go around the room, but start with you, Dan. Do you think it's a dead rubber? Do you think both teams will be coming out to win it? What do you think? Everyone's on the beach kind of thing?
Never going to be a dead rubber as against Wrexham, I don't think. You can't just... It's just going to be a competitive game of football. I mean, it's plenty of time to prepare for next season. All people coming out of this rubbish about people going to go over the top and stuff. I don't think it'll be as competitive as it would have been, but it's at the end of the day, it's a massive game between two big clubs, and I still think that both teams are going to Wrexham will get some revenge for obviously the final defeat and lay a marker down for next season. So I think I think it'd be a good game of football. I think honestly, I think Wrexham might win the game. I hate to say it, but I think in my gut, my honest opinion, I think Wrexham might shade it. I think, in honesty,
we've not got a good record, have we, at the race course?
No.
So,
no, we haven't.
And I think it'll be a high scoring game, and I think there'll be one goal in it, and I don't really know which way that's going to go. I think it's going to be like, say, a 3-2 or a 4-3 or something like that. Whether that'll be Wrexham winning or Stockport winning, I think it'll be high scoring games. I think as we saw it against, for us, we saw it against Accrington, there was nothing on it. We just played, we played our football. And I think, as you say, Wrexham will want to come at us and, you know, redeem themselves for the 5-0 tonking that they got at our place. So I think that they'll come out and play football against us. And I think we've said it all season, that suits our style of play. If a team comes at us, then we're more expressive and more expansive, and we can hurt them. So I think, yeah, high scoring game, but I'm not quite sure which way it's going to go.
Do you think, Tim? Are you going to come at us? Are they already in Vegas or wherever you go in this season?
Yeah, Vegas again. But you know, show that you deserve it, which they do. But you know what I mean. Just sign off on a bit of a high, because again, a lot of these players ain't going to be playing for us next season. Whether those that are in the squad will be playing for us next season is a different story. But I think it's going to be an interesting game. I think there's going to be a red card and a penalty somewhere. I don't know why. I just think it's going to be incident packed. And I just hope that everybody comes through it unscathed. The last thing you want is like a shitty injury, because then people won't forget that all summer.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll go, right, fixture announced, when are we playing them? Nobody will be looking at it. Oh, we just got shouted away in the first game of the season. Oh, I stopped on like January the 2nd or something like that. So I hope there's nothing like that. Nothing kind of spoils it, because you know, if you take away from the fact that both sides have got promoted, if they hadn't been, this would be like a sky blockbuster. They'd be bigging it up. It'd be mad. It'd be the next biggest sort of League Two game of the season. So it's a dead rubber in the sense that it's not generating the kind of interest it might have done. But I think it's just about getting the sort of dividing line right between a party atmosphere, the pressure is off, which it is. But ultimately, you know, it's about two of the best teams in the division going toe-to-toe again and seeing how far one another has come since the early part of the season, you know, especially from our point of view. So I think it'll be a cracker, and I'm gonna can't remember what I said on your pod the other day.
You changed it. You went 3-2 to start with, but your co-host, I can't remember his name. I should know it, but he had that, and you went 2-1 in the end, I think.
Yeah, 2-1. I don't know. Muggy might be right. In my head, I've suddenly got 4-4 from somewhere. Wrexham have never been doubled by anybody.
Yes, true.
Since the takeover.
Okay.
I mean, and that it's technically a slight lie, because when we lost to Grimsby in the playoff eliminator, they'd beaten us at Grimsby last season, but over 90 minutes in the sense, if you want to kind of split hairs. We've never been double. So, and our home record is so mad. Like, it's mental that the stats are crazy. But for the home record, it's bonkers.
You say that. So Dave Philbin, he is a stat man. He does our heading. No, he's a good lad. Both teams can set scoring records. Wrexham most home league goals, I think. And obviously we can get the most League Two goals in the 21st century. God, that's hard for me to say. So two more goals for you, and you've broken a home league record apparently. If you're aware of that,
sounds about right. It's honestly, when teams come away from there with a win, now it's like, yeah, it's almost like akin to, you know, without sounding patronising, like a proper like FA Cup giant killing, because they know what the record is. They're like, you know, that when people say fortress, it's true in that sense. Because I think across the course of three seasons, I think we've lost about 7 or something at home, which is mental. Not many at all. So it'll be interesting, because I think you've got the best away form, we've got the best home form. So something's got to give, or it'll be 0-0.
Yeah, with the worst game of the season.
Yeah. it'll be 0-0, and they'll be passing it to one another in the centre circle for 90 minutes, whilst both sets of fans just shout about there being a guard of honour. I'll be sure to take a pair of binoculars for the flyover, so I know what it says. I don't think any mobile phone camera is going to do justice. So we'll see.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Right. Right. Thanks for coming on, mate. Are you a ticket? You're going on Saturday?
Yeah. Yeah. Season ticket. So good times. And yeah, I just can't believe how fast the season's gone. Honestly, it's gone so quick.
I think
last season went slower because of how relentless it was. Like, Wrexham win, Notts County win, Wrexham win, Notts County win, Notts County draw, Wrexham lose. So it was just like, it just felt like it dragged on forever. Whereas this one, it was like, you know, it was less Tuesday night matches as well. So I think it just went a lot quicker. And I think that it went quicker because it's more enjoyable.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, we've got two questions before you go. First one, Carl from X says, for the last time, please, Phil, can you give me your thoughts on the sacking of your PA announcer?
I don't really know. Simple as that. I mean, I've heard various rumours about the sacking of PA announcer, but that's not my business, is it? I'm not the PA announcer, and he's not here to defend himself. So
This is true. I guess that...
Death by social media, the trial by social media is not the way forward, I'm afraid.
No, it's not, is it? I think it's, the overall sort of saying there is that as time moves on and clubs grow, they unfortunately people move away from the club, don't they? And the situation is not right for them, and that's firstly, just that's
how it goes. There's like you can have a dozen witch hunts about it, and you hear various rumors about various things, and it's down to you what you believe and what you don't want to believe. And I've always said that if it's not my business, I'm not going to make it my business, especially on like individual cases. You know, if he was dismissed, or whether he left or whatever, I'm sure there are reasons for that. I genuinely don't know what they are, because with the greatest respect to him, I've no real interest unless it becomes in the public domain. Why would he? You know, so yeah. I don't shy away from it. I just steer clear of it because it's not my business to have any sort of say in that matter.
Fair enough. And then last one, quite a nice one. I'm guessing the answer to this isn't the turf. Where are the best away fan pubs in Wrexham?
Oof. There's a designated pub, but it's pointless because it's down the bottom end of town. I don't see why they do that. I mean, the turf is mental now. It's just, you just can't get in. You'd have to queue up at like sunrise to get in. because one of the co-owners is in town. I imagine he's here now, actually, because they're closing the pub tomorrow afternoon for whatever reason. So I imagine he's there tomorrow. The Myers Grin Hall across the road is really good, really big. Loads of outdoor bars as well as inside. There's food on the go, music. So that's good. So, you know, there's no real issue there. As long as people don't come giving it the big one, you know, a group would be all right. I think it's like what we've just been saying, it. You know, just think of the guard of honour and be respectful. that you might, guard of honour, we'll be all right, lads. We'll be all right. They've given us that. The least we can do is play nice in the beer gardens of Wrexham. And Plascoch, which isn't far away, is all right. They do allow away fans in there as well. Even the university next door has got a bar, which kind of, I wouldn't say it's a hidden gem, but people don't really think too much it's there. So that's good. And then, I mean, there's a zillion pubs in town, take your pick, but I would imagine the police presence will be quite significant on Saturday.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. So, yeah, just enjoy it, and hopefully it passes off incident-free off and on the pitch, because, I mean, you know, who wants to be banned when your team's climbing the league? Nobody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well said. Right, we'll let you go. Cheers for your company, as always, Tim. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you. No worries. I'm off to my first flying lesson now. So we'll see what happens.
I love it.
Crash course between now and Saturday, obviously without the crash.
Like a World War One dogfight.
Yeah, got me big old glasses and everything. Fly across aviation gin. It's all happening.
Hey, get it in. Right, nice one. Cheers, mate. See you soon, bud. Bye now.
Take care.
There we go. Always good value is Tim.
Yeah, good man.
Yeah, he's a good lad. So, yeah, good stuff. Right, well, I think we can just about wrap it up. Dan, have you had a good time, mate?
Mate, yeah, I've loved it. Yeah, I really enjoyed having me on. I really appreciate it. Any other time you want me again, just give me a buzz. And yeah,
come on. No worries. I told you it went fast. That's been an hour and 10, hour and 20 minutes already.
Yeah, it's flown by, isn't it? Yeah.
You're talking about football. You can talk forever, can't you?
Yeah.
Few things to mention, actually, before we all go. We have got the squad pod coming next week. So we've got the Courtyard Club call next week, the squad pod. There's a couple more Mentel podcasts coming out over the summer as well. We are continuing throughout the summer. All these other podcasts, even some award-winning podcasts, stop in the summer. We don't stop. We're going through all the way through the summer. And we're going to do England podcasts as well. Our man on the ground, Righty, is going to the European Championships. So he's going to join us live from the European Championships sometime in June as well. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, we might do some England Courtyard Club calls as well after the matches. Oof. If we can get them organised, we'll try and get some of them in as well. So
sounds heavy.
It sounds bloody good. I've got loads of numbers from different people last Saturday coming on the pod, and we've got numbers in the bank as well and all this kind of stuff. So we will get them on. But what I don't want to do is promise anything. The only one I can promise, and it's a great one, is on the 8th of May, we have got Dave Conlon coming into the County Arms, and he will be on our live show. Three-time promotion winner, Dave Conlon, will be joining us. So that's something to really look forward to. So that'd be cool. Are we doing getting reses? It's a bit late. Do you want to do it?
Have you got getting the reses? Have you got getting the reses, Dan?
I've not got getting the reses. No.
I do have one, but I can save it for next week.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, and Dave Philbin says the England one should be called Wembley Waffle.
Okay.
Any advances on that? That's not your best work, Dave. Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah, seems that's the first it's come up, then no, I'm not currently got no ideas.
No.
Something better than Wembley Waffle.
Yeah, it wasn't quite that.
Yeah. So thanks for everybody for watching. Do press that like button, do subscribe if you haven't already, and do rate and review us on whatever podcast player you are listening to us on. That'd be useful as well. We do like to climb those charts and get this out to as many County fans as we can. All good stuff. Right, there's nothing left to say apart from cheers, thank you, and we shall see everybody soon, I guess.
Indeed.
Yeah. Let me just play some music out, and then we'll see you later.
Cheers, thank you.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, Serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.